Welcome back, everybody. It is the Ospo.com NHL DFS Strategy Show. 10 games to break down on this Monday afternoon. We got an hour to do it. Joined by Terry McBride. T. McBee, what's up, man? How was the weekend?
Weekend was pretty good, man. A lot of basketball. Did some fantasy baseball drafts. So I had my big keeper league draft this weekend. So a lot of fun. A lot of sports related stuff. And now just found out that I'm not getting a Top Shot pack in this drop they're doing. So you guys have my full attention. No, nothing's going to distract me from this show now.
Yeah.
How about you, man?
Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I got to check mine. So I'll check it after check I introduce the first game. I actually forgot I joined that. So I don't know. I'm probably like 300K. So won't matter. But we'll see. Pretty eventful weekend in the NHL. Hopefully you guys did well and carry that into today. If you didn't, Daily Fantasy Sports for a reason. You got another crack at it tonight. We've got, again, 10 games. And then NBA, there's a slate going on for that. We'll have a ton of coverage, as always. You got PGA coming up in a couple days here. So hit the subscribe button, and you'll know when we go live for not only this show, but all of our other shows. It's only going to help you out, and it's the easiest way you can help us out for free. And so that's what we got going on right now. You guys know, normal schedule by now. I mean, we're going to be adding in baseball here in a couple weeks. Sounds like you're pretty excited for that, right?
Oh, can't wait. That's my favorite sport overall. It's my favorite to cover for fantasy. So yeah, I'm psyched. Cannot wait. I've already done, I think, 6 drafts just in like random Yahoo Pro League drafts. I've got another one that I'm going to do tonight. So I fire away on those things. I love it.
All right, I'm 93,000, so I think I don't have a chance, right? Like,
yeah, that's like 30,000 failed transactions. Yeah. They don't run that cold, so. Yeah,
so that's a close the laptop or close the phone type of night. So hopefully you don't have that in NHL DFS tonight, but Top Shot feels like that's pretty much every single time. As you guys see up on the top right above Terry's head, we are presented by Jock Market. They are turning fantasy sports into a stock exchange. They allow you to buy and sell shares of players in real time with real money, guaranteed payouts for all shares at the end of the night. Our producer, Tyler, who is not producing today, it's Jordan behind the scenes. So Tyler he's been playing a lot of Jock Market and doing pretty well. He had a good night with Dylan Larkin about a week ago. And so if he's doing it, you guys should be grinding it as well. You can use the pregame IPO to pick up shares of your favorite players, then buy, sell, or hold during the game. Based on your analysis at any given time. You can download the app to get started and use our exclusive Osmo promo code. If you haven't used this yet, make sure you listen up. Osmo20 for a $20 bonus on your first deposit. This is only exclusive to the Osmo community. So if you are listening to the show on podcast or on YouTube, you got a chance to take advantage and get 20 free bucks on your first deposit. All right. What are your initial thoughts on this slate, Terry? Seems like a ton of options.
Yeah, we've got lines all over the place that we can go to. There's value plays on the board. There's some teams that we can just kind of not maybe scratch off entirely, but really don't have to dig too deep into. So, I think it's an interesting slate. A lot of depth for 10 games. It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, I can't wait to break this one down, get your thoughts. And so let's get right into it. We'll start with Buffalo and the New York Rangers, 2.2 implied total for the Sabres, 3.4 for the Rangers. Not seeing a whole lot of changes on the Rangers side. In fact, I don't see much of anything changing, specifically for their top two lines. Strom still with Panarin and Blackwell. Zibanejad, Kreider, and Buchnevich as your top line. Probably going to see opposing top competition for the Sabres, which will be Hall with Dylan Cousins and Sam Reinhart. I think they've played a couple games together, but not a whole lot of a sample size of anything on the Sabres. They've been a poor team to say the least, and not healthy. So that's usually not a good combination. So I'm thinking we're going to be liking some Rangers here. What are you drawn to in this one, Terry?
Yeah, I think, fire away, all systems go on the Rangers top line. I can probably get to a pretty good amount of that Rangers second line as well. We know all about those two combinations, but just a put it on the boards, 433.40 going back to the start of last year for that top line, 51.34% Corsi 4 percentage, 28 to 12 at even strength in goals for, which is a 70% goals for advantage. Their goal expected goals for is 52% advantage. So still ahead of the curve there, 83 to 77 in high danger chances generated, 16 to 8 conversions. So just a dynamic, dangerous line when they're at full strength. And they seem to be playing a little bit better. Buch has been really rolling over their last, you know, 10, 12 games. Zibanejad getting it back a little bit after a really cold start to the season. It was nice. One of the highlights of my recent week, or I think it was last week, was texting my Flyers friend when the Rangers lit him up for 9 goals. That was a fun one. So had,
I'm good. I was saying, you mentioned his cold start. He got it all, pretty much got it back all in one game, 6-point performance against those Flyers. So yeah, that had to be nice to brag a little bit about your Rangers there.
Yeah, for sure. And they haven't given me a ton of opportunities through the season. So it was nice to get that back. And then that second line, like you said, getting Panarin back on that line. Strome is good. He's effective when he plays with Panarin. Blackwell, you know, you take him, he's a very inexpensive piece if you want to round that line out. If you wanted to leave him off, I don't think you're really costing yourself too much. He's played fairly well, 6 goals, 4 assists on the season, but he's a couple tiers down in terms of talent. I think that third line could be a little sneaky. We talked about it the last time out. It's just basically the kids all playing together. Some high-end talent with Philip Hedel centering Alex Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko. Haven't really put a ton together, only 39-13 together so far, 51.67 Corsi 4. Scored once, given up no goals, but a 60.34 expected goals advantage. So fairly strong in that category. And again, just a lot of very high-end kids learning to play together. So it's a line that not a ton of people are going to be on. They're not very expensive. Could be a little bit sneaky against a super weak and very bad team.
Yeah, I think so. The Rangers are the main focus here. Yeah. Just to get the Sabres out of the way, I think I'll take some stabs on the top line. I'm seeing almost no ownership. You get a really cheap Hall and Ryan Hart. And at the worst case, you know, if they score a couple goals, they might not kill you and might even allow you to cash a few lineups for that price. So you're getting two pretty talented players, Hall especially, a little underpriced. Rangers haven't been a juggernaut defensively, although they have been pretty decent, I will say. And the 2.2 goal total says it all. So really, maybe some of the Sabres top line for me, that's probably all I'm going to on their side. On the Rangers, if I was hand building lineups tonight, I think I would get to a ton of Rangers power play stacks. And I think I still will get to some, but like it is a little bit expensive to go Kreider, Zibanejad, and Panarin. And those would be the guys that probably want the most that play top power play minutes. Plus throwing Fox, his price has come down a little bit, but 5,200, I feel like they might be a little bit popular on a 10 game slate. It's not a big deal. When you're in the low double digits in terms of ownership, this top line, I'm still going to be around where the field's at, I think, on them. And I'll probably be over the field on Rangers too. I'll leave Blackwell on in some, otherwise I'll go with like the Strome, Panarin and Zibanejad or Kreider with Adam Fox type of stack as well. So you get two guys in the top power play on each of the top two lines. So I like that. Power play stack, of course, an amazing option here against this lowly Sabres team and probably Carter Hutton. So yeah, I love the Rangers here, but I don't think I'm saying anything that anyone's going to really disagree with. Hard to find reasons to not stack against the Sabres tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Sabres are 22nd in the league with 99 goals against, 16th of the 78.26% penalty kill. Rangers penalty power play hasn't been great, only 14.6%, 26th in the league. Their penalty kill has been awesome. Third in the league with 86.6%. Mm-hmm. And they're ninth in the league, by the way, 78 goals against. So how dare you tear down my Rangers and their defensive prowess. They've been excellent this year.
they've been pretty good defensively this season.
Surprisingly good for a Rangers team. Yeah. No, that's a bit of a surprise on that side for sure.
Pretty good up-and-coming young team. So yeah. I think you've got some things to be excited about in the next few years. Maybe not this season, but
a couple years. That they sent worked out well. So far.
Yeah. Speaking of young players, Keandre Miller, 2,800. Don't mind him as punts. And then Trouba at 4K. They don't really go well with either of the top two lines because since they're on that second power play, but I think you can play them as a one-off certainly tonight for those prices.
Yeah, and that second power play could be a little sneaky. They're not that expensive with Buch and Hedel and Kakko out there. and grab one of those defensemen. Condre Miller would be the one I would prefer. You're doing that pretty damn cheap and not with a ton of ownership on it. So again, just a little bit of a different look at what should be a very effective unit and a very good spot.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Carolina and Columbus. We've got a 3 implied total for the Hurricanes, 2.5 for the Jackets. Nedeljkovic and Korpisalo are your expected goalies here. Blue Jackets love to change up their lines pretty much every game, before the game, during the game, in between periods. Like, it's just, you just never know what they're going to do. So on a 10 gamer here, I don't have a whole lot of interest on the Blue Jackets side, especially with the 2.5 implied total. But if you feel good about a line, feel free to point it out. And then Hurricanes, pretty low total for them. So Jackets getting some respect from Vegas, only 3 flat implied goals here, but they've got 2 playable lines, I think, on a big slate that aren't getting much ownership at all. So what do you like in this one?
Yeah, definitely would come down stronger on the Kane side of things for sure. I think those are 2 pretty good lines up top. Top unit, 88 minutes together this year, 55.63% Corsi 4, 4-1 in goals scored, which is an 80% goals for advantage. Comes down to a 55.16 in expected goals, but still have the advantage. 16-8 in high danger chances generated. So they're doing everything right, controlling the puck well and converting on their chances. Second unit, similar amount of time, 88 minutes together. I've got them at 49.33, so just slightly under average in Corsi, but 44-3 goals for with a strong goals for advantage, 20-15 in high danger chances generated. I think we can get to both the Svechnikov, Stahl, and Jesper Fast line and the Aho, Niederreiter, Nikas line. Both are looking good and not really drawing a ridiculous amount of ownership, more on FanDuel, particularly that top line is approaching 10% each. But on DK, they're all in that like 5% or below range. So I like that a lot, getting to those guys. Going up against a Columbus team that's okay, but only a team 46.08 Corsi 4 percentage as a team. This is going to be a puck control spot for Carolina. They have a tremendous advantage in that area. So definitely like the Carolina side of things. I think you can, maybe mix and match some of the Blue Jackets lines, but they don't really stand out. If you take that top line the way it was listed with Bjorkstrand, Stenlin, and Lane, if you boil that down to Lane and Bjorkstrand together, they've got a 107-minute sample together, 42.13 Corsi 4 percentage, pretty weak, trailing in goals 4-7, so they're giving up more goals than they've scored. There's not a ton to love there. I think you can get to little pieces of that, maybe look to the power play with like Rossovich, and Atkinson, and Lane. Something along those lines, but not one of the go-to teams for me. And they rank pretty far down the board in the top stacks tool too.
Yeah. Yeah. Really tough to find things to love about the Blue Jackets or feel confident about at the very least. Like, even if you did love one of these lines, are they going to be split up mid first period? It's possible. It happens all the time. So on a big slate, I usually just try to limit what I do with Columbus, even if they're popping up as good values. Maybe you want to attack that power play, like you said, Carolina about 3.3 times shorthanded per game. That's one of the higher marks in the league. So if you want to just take the power play one, guys, don't really have an issue with that. I like the Stahl, Svechnikov, Jesper Foss line, 14-1 for this line that has really good 5-on-5 numbers going up against whoever. I think they're going to have the advantage at 5-on-5. You get Stahl and Svechnikov on the top power play. You can add them with Dougie or just play them as one of the cheap fillers. 2.3% ownership in the top stacks tool right now. That looks pretty good to me. Not to say that I don't have interest in the Aho line. I definitely do, but it is a little bit pricier. DK has priced up Niederreiter, and that's just playing with Aho in the last couple of games. Aho is not cheap, 7,500. So I think I'll be sticking to mostly Carolina 2 in this game, maybe a sprinkle of a power play stack with Aho and Svechnikov and Stahl. But that's really about all I've got in this one for forwards. Defenseman Pesci, I've been getting to a bunch of him lately, 4,200, more of a one-off guy. And Savard, I guess, is still really cheap, 3,300. I didn't notice him coming up in my crunches, but I might have to give him a couple thumbs up here in FC because it could be a spot where he's looking to block some shots and he's one of the better guys in the league at that.
Yeah, averaging 19.42 in ice time, 69 blocks in their 32 games. Pretty solid. So yeah, you can definitely get cheap with him there. And just a note on the Carolina power play, that's a good call. League leading 31.25% power play going up against 27th in the league, 73.33% penalty kill. So if they can get on the power play on the Canes side of things, that's a pretty likely spot.
Yeah. All right, let's go to a fun one. Edmonton and Montreal, 3 implied total for the Oilers, 3.1 for the Canadiens. Mike Smith expected to go against Carey Price. I don't remember if we had these Montreal lines earlier in the week, so I can just read them off for you guys. Deneau back with Tatar and Gallagher. Suzuki with Jonathan Drouin and Josh Anderson. Kotkaniemi with Armia. No Tyler Toffoli. Again, he's out for the next, I think, at least 3 games. So it's going to be Arturi Lehkonen on that third line. Dirt cheap third line against Edmonton depth. That's one I'm probably going to look at a little bit. And then on the Edmonton side, I think it was more speculation, but one of the beat writers tweeted out that McDavid or Dreisaitl and Nugent Hopkins would be swapped. So Dreisaitl would be playing wing on McDavid's line with Jesse Puljujarvi, and then Nugent Hopkins would be centering Cahoon and Josh Archibald. So could have the big two together, McDavid and Dreisaitl, at 5-on-5. They're obviously going to be together on the power play. But seems like a lot to like here, Terry. What are you liking the most?
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely fire away, particularly if Dreisaitl's on that top line. 29-34 together with him on that line back to the start of last year. 68.66% Corsi 4, 6-0 in goals so far. That's 100%, obviously, against an 81.23% expected goals for advantage. 7-3 in high danger chances generated, 1-0 in high danger goals converted. Without Dreisaitl on that line, they're still excellent. 249, 46, 54, 77, Corsi 4. So you can go to that line either way, whichever way they put that together. And I think that applies to both of the top two there. So no real issues going to either configuration of it. Just want to see whether the top line obviously is ranking out well. And that's with we've got them fourth overall on the board, it looks like, before making the change. So that's with Nugent Hopkins still on that line. So I think they pop up probably to the top there, or maybe second. And then I think we see that second line come in somewhere in like that top 10 range once after that change. So going to be very interesting on the Edmonton side of things. And I think there's definitely some lines in play on the Montreal side of things as well. That top line, a ton of experience together, 793.18 dating back to the start of last year, 61.81% Corsi 4 advantage. 50-29 goals for, it's a 63.29 actual versus a 62.32 expected, right in line. 218-119 in high danger chances generated. Love that, tremendous advantage there. And 30 converted to 18 given up. So just excellent in not only generating, but converting on those high danger chances. Second line, also excellent. 222-28 back to the start of last year, 54.79 Corsi 4, 37.28 in high danger chances, 11.11 drawn even on goals for, but 59 expected goals, 59.32% expected goals for percentage. So also just an excellent line to go to.
Montreal definitely has the advantage at 5-on-5, as they do almost every single game. I feel like we talk about it every time they play, and I probably do. Their top two lines are really awesome at 5-on-5. And I don't know who's going to go up against the McDavid line. In the past, it's mostly been Deneau, Tatar, Gallagher up against opposing top competition. But I've noticed recently, at least in a couple spots, they've played a lot of the Suzuki line against McDavid, Nugent Hopkins, and Puljujarvi. So, or not Nugent Hopkins. Well, it could be Nugent Hopkins, but we saw Dreisaitl earlier this morning. So, I would want whatever line we don't think is going to face the most time against McDavid, just as a general rule. And so I think it's going to be the Suzuki, Drouin, and Anderson line. So they're lower owned as well. Looks like they're all on the top power play together. Not that Montreal is great on the power play, but nice little bonus there for the cheaper line. Top line is very cheap as well. So I don't really have an issue going to either of the top two Montreal lines, but looking at the ownership difference, and I think there's a better chance the Suzuki line faces off against the Edmonton depth. I will be leaning to there if I could only have one. And then, I mean, it's not a big deal if you guess wrong on the Edmonton lines and you guess that it's going to be Dreisaitl, ends up being Nugent Hopkins with McDavid. Like, they're all going to play together some. They'll probably take some shifts together. They're going to play the power play together, and that's really what you want here. It's not an amazing 5-on-5 spot for the Oilers, but Montreal just takes so many penalties, and they're below average at killing them off. And if you give up a bunch of take a bunch of penalties against Edmonton, who's great at drawing them, you're just going to be in a pretty rough spot more often than not. So some sort of Edmonton power play stack is like, is how I like to attack this here. Right now, they're my highest owned stack. I don't really see that changing by the time it gets a lock, unless the ownership comes way up. But yeah, I love both sides here, specifically Edmonton power play and then the Suzuki line I like a lot. Anything else? Blue liners, Montreal 3, do you like those guys at all? I don't think they have much of a sample.
Yeah, I didn't write up their sample, but I mean, there's certainly some scoring on there, and you're getting to them with like no ownership and no cost on them, particularly on DraftKings, where they're actually both sites, they're super cheap, but they're a little bit less on DK, and just nobody there. So yeah, I think we can get to them, mix them in. Don't go completely haywire with putting them in, but yeah, I think they're in play.
Yeah, I usually don't get to third lines more than like 2-3% on a slate of this size. But I think I might allow for a little bit more for this Montreal 3 line. Just Edmonton depth is pretty brutal. Whenever McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice, they're just not good. And so a potentially pretty solid third line at almost no ownership, at no cost, like you said, is appealing to me tonight. Yeah. Weber goes – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to speak to your point about the Edmonton depth being a little bit weak. When you consider their team – 49.73% team Corsi four. They were 47.87 last year. So they've actually improved it a little bit. But when you're talking about a team with a dominant line and some dominant players up top that, handle their business, that gets ugly pretty fast to bring it down to that level as a team. So yeah, that's depth you can definitely attack there.
Yeah. You got Nurse and Tyson Barrie. As is usually the case, I'm playing Tyson Barrie, especially at this price, 6,700. Exclusively with Edmonton power play stacks or Edmonton one stacks. And then Darnell Nurse, I think you can play with whoever. If you want to play them with Edmonton one, that might be a differentiation point at $100 cheaper than Barrie on DK. But he's the one-off guy that I want to target on the Edmonton blue line. Just correlating, I think, on the Montreal side with Weber, with the Suzuki line, Petrie goes a little bit better with Tatar and Gallagher on that second PP. Anything else here?
Any love on the blue line for super cheap and unpopular Adam Larsson, 1914 average ice time, 96 blocked shots in 34 games?
I mean, if this is like, he's probably got the three blocks bonus in him here. It's just 4,200, like you probably need a little bit more than that. So I haven't looked at all the defensemen or like compared them to guys around his price, but that's going to be a guy that's probably going to get the blocks bonus tonight just because of how good Montreal is at generating shot attempts at 5-on-5.
Yeah, seems likely. And only 3,600 on FanDuel, I think, is definitely an easy price to plug in as just a, kind of a scratch one-off.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Calgary and Ottawa. We've got a 3.4 implied total for the Flames, 2.7. for the Sens, Markstrom and Gustavsson going for the Senators. I believe it's his first NHL start. Sens mixing it up. Tierney with Tkachuk and Brown. That's going to downgrade that line, at least defensively. Norris with Stützle and Batherson, and then Colin White with Paul and Dadonoff. We've seen that line play for a couple hundred minutes, I think, so far. So nothing new there. On the Calgary side, they're going with Lindholm, Tkachuk, and Sam Bennett. Monahan, Gaudreau, Richie, we've seen for a few games. Then that third line that has really good numbers. So definitely some options here. Big total on the Calgary side. Are you going to Calgary here?
Yeah, I think Calgary's in play. I think they've got some interesting pieces there. I actually flagged their third line as being a little bit interesting. One of the few third lines. We talked about them, I think, last time as well, that Lucic, Backlund, Mangiapane line. I think they're somewhat interesting. 149.25 together, 56.67. It's 56.67% Corsi for 8-7 goals for advantage, which is a 53.3% actual, but a 60.49% expected goals for advantage. Pretty good. 31-22 in high danger chances generated, converted on 4, gave up 3. So that draws some of those expected versus actual closer together. But I think there's, They're a scrappy line. They're a tough line, and I think they can convert and score. So I like that, getting to them. Top line, 194 minutes together, just a little below average, 49.1% Corsi for, but a nice 16-6 goals for advantage, which is 72.7%. Oddly, that drops, though, to 46% expected goals for. So they're actually outperforming by far what they should be doing. 28-26 high danger chances, 8-4 high danger goals. So that's part of where they've gotten that done, is the advantage in high danger. But it's interesting, you know, if they can keep it up and keep getting lucky that way, then, you know, certainly we can go to them. And since we're only really worried about their offense, we can continue doing that. But it's just a little bit of a, you know, a ding to that, how that line comes together as a whole. And then on the second line, when you take Monahan and Gaudreau as a duo, you've got over 1,100 minutes of time together, 50.7% Corsi for, 47-43 goals for advantage, with a 50.26 expected percentage advantage. So strong pairing there, strong line there. So I think you've got three lines that you can kind of roll through on the Calgary side of things against what is not a good Ottawa team.
Yeah, definitely not a good Ottawa team, and starting this goalie who's apparently not ready to play in the NHL, but for a number of reasons, mostly just injuries. He's being thrust into a starting position tonight, and it is a big total against him. So I don't have a problem playing Calgary here, especially in MME. I'm going to have some, but I think I'm going to be below the field on both of the top two Calgary lines. And then we've been liking this third line. We've talked about him a couple times. Josh Cliffey, they've talked about him a bunch, but just really good numbers for the Backlund, Lucic, and Mangiapane line. They're cheap. They're going to get probably – I mean, pretty good matchups here. You don't want to face Tkachuk, but with Tierney and Brown, Tkachuk line has not been very good at all defensively. So at first I was going to come on here and just, you know, talk about how I wanted to fade Calgary, but since they put that line together, they're probably going to face off against Lindholm and Tkachuk. And so I think that's the Calgary line I would rather play. If you're comparing the Lindholm line to the Monahan line, so I guess I'm making somewhat of a stand there, but I don't really believe in the spot that much for Calgary's top two lines. They just haven't been all that good at generating chances at 5-on-5. It is a good power play spot, and it is a goalie that has no experience in the NHL. So they've got that going for them for sure. I just think for the ownership, if I was hand building, you know, 1-3 lineups, I don't think I would end up on Calgary, and I might even end up on some Ottawa here. You can go to the top, like any of the three lines that they've got, but Norris, Stützle, and Batherson is the one that I think I'm going to get to the most. And they're showing pretty much no ownership right now. So I'm feeling pretty good about that on the Ottawa side. This is a game that I know is going to frustrate me. So I was hoping maybe I could talk myself into something that I love here, but I don't really love a whole lot despite the big total here.
Yeah, and I think those Ottawa guys are in play. They're a little weird, though. We've talked them up a few times during the season. They've had that Stützle and Batherson combination that's come through and scored some goals. But when you actually look at some of the numbers, top line below average Corsi for, second line below average Corsi for by a lot at 39.74 as the full unit. If you take Stützle and Batherson together, 169 minutes for them as a duo, 47.7% Corsi for. So just 5-on-5, they're not great with puck control. The third line is pretty good, 193 minutes, 57.49% Corsi for, but they get beat up on the goal side of things. So the scoring lines just kind of, you know, go back and forth a little bit, not great with puck control. But to your point, they're a team that can be attacked on the power play. They are 24th in the league, 74.76% penalty kill. So maybe if you are going to some of the Flames, do it on the power play. But just overall, maybe think a little bit on that Flames side of things. Senators last in the league with 129 goals against. That's 19 more than the Canucks in two fewer games. Canucks are second worst in the league in goals against. That is a lot of goals against.
You're not making me feel good about being pretty low on the Flames here, but
I know I've got a rookie goalie.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I'm prepared to be let down here and trying to outsmart myself. But yeah, like the Calgary onslaught, if you were onslaughting a team, and if there's a maybe chance I'm just completely dead wrong here, you could just go Lindholm, Tkachuk with one or both of Monahan, Gaudreau, throw in Hanifin. You've got a reasonably priced 4 or 5-man stack. If they put up a handful of goals, hard to believe that those guys don't get involved. So there's there's ways to hedge a little bit here. I'll be thinking about that by the time we get to lock and probably end up with a handful of those. But yeah, just the ownership is getting me off Calgary a little bit.
Yeah, even like a more trustworthy team in general for that kind of ownership when you're paying that kind of freight on it. And they're not inexpensive either, you know, going to those guys on the top two lines at least. So definitely, you know, worth considering, but there are reasons to get away. You weren't far afield.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the double Tkachuk game. So the Tkachuk brothers squaring off against each other, the Matt and Brady Tkachuk stack, obviously going to be the nuts here. Let's go to the Islanders and the Flyers, 2.9 implied total for the Islanders, 2.6 for the Flyers. Varlamov expected to go against Brian Elliott, who is confirmed for the Flyers. Big question mark here, and it is a big one, is whether or not Sean Couturier is going to play. And if he does play, it sounds like he's nursing a hip injury, so it's probably not 100%. I don't think I could play Couturier for this price, even if he does play. Like, it just sounds like he's not even close to 100%. But maybe some interest in some of these Flyer lines. This isn't a super appealing game to me, but maybe you've got something else here, Terry.
Yeah, I wrote it up with Couturier in there. So, you know, they look okay. But this is a game where I respect both teams. I think both teams are relatively good in what they do. Flyers fifth in the East, Islanders second in the East. They are, you know, there's not a lot of holes. There's not a lot of spots that really jump out. If Couturier is out there, 153.42 for that line, 60% Corsi 4, 12-12 even up in goals with a little bit of an edge in their expected goals at 57% versus the 50% mark. 20-16 high danger chances. The second line, sub-average in puck control of 45.9% Corsi 4, 7 goals scored to 4 allowed, but a sub-50% expected goals for advantage, 17-21, so they give up more high-danger chances than they've generated. Just not a ton that really jumps off the page. They're just kind of, you know, they are who they are. I think they're priced appropriately for who they are. You've got the Couturier question mark. It's just a lot of, you know, nothing really solid going up against this Islander team. And it's similar coming back the other way for lines that we've talked about a few times this year that we like. I just don't see anybody really jumping off the page as a must play. You know, with that top line on the Islander side of things, if you boil it down to Barzal and Eberle, you've got a nice sample, 885 minutes, 54.77 Corsi 4, 44-36 goals for advantage with a 233-147 high danger chances advantage. So that's a spot that, you know, is a little bit obvious to call out the top line of the better team. But I think that would be, you know, the main focus spot. And they're not getting a ton of attention. So that's probably, you know, the one line that I would maybe you know, land on a little bit heavily. And then the others are kind of just mix and match and sprinkle them in if you're running a big MME slate.
Yeah. For MME, I think my favorite target here is Giroux with Lindblom and Voracek. There is an issue right now with Voracek on FC. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but he wasn't showing up when I was downloading the player list. So just be aware of that. If you're not getting to Voracek, that could be why you might just have to make that manual change, put him on the correct line, and then you're good to go if you're using Fantasy Cruncher. I don't feel good about a lot in this game, but just wanted to point out that third line for the Flyers. And then I think, you know, two third lines in a 5.5 implied total game, but I think I just like the look of Beauvillier with Peugeot and Wahlstrom. Seems like a pretty talented line. Definitely some goal scoring to be had there. I hate what the Islanders are doing with Komarov on the top line. If he was going to play like 16, 17 minutes up on the top line, that'd be one thing because he's not very talented offensively, but played like 12.5 minutes in the first game. And even if they're getting the 70-80% Sean Couturier, that's going to be the match. If Couturier plays, he's going to go up against Isles 1. And so that's not really something I'm interested in, especially with the low totals. So mostly passing in this game. We'll be mixing in some third lines on both sides as deep MME plays. Anything on the blue line that sticks out?
You can get to pieces, I guess. You know, Ghost Pierre is not getting any ownership at all and not that expensive, playing on the top power play. 5 goals, 3 assists on the season, 25 blocked shots. You could get a couple blocks and a little power play 2 action out of Provorov as well, but he costs more, and I don't know if I love that. Similar story on the Islanders side of things with you know, each guy on the plant that plays on the power play. You're getting a lot of ownership on Pulak though, 13% on DK, 10% on FanDuel. I think they're probably just better spots.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of better spots for defensemen here. Pulak, I like to play him with Isles one, but obviously no Anders Lee for the rest of the season. If they had Bovilja up there, I'd probably be more interested in playing like an Isles one stack. But yeah, probably the game I'm least interested in tonight. And then for the defensemen, I think there's better punts kind of all the way around. So let's just move it on. Actually, just want to mention before we move it on, we've got a March Madness pack. If you missed out on the first weekend, we've still got some content coming out for you. $29.99 if you want access to Matt Jeske's projections, who I don't know if you saw it, Terry, but Alex tweeted out a screenshot. He just plugged in the projections. I'm sure he accounted for ownership in some way. And he had a really nice night playing college basketball yesterday. So he said no slates off. That means no slates off for you guys as well. Have you gotten into the college basketball DFS game, Terry?
I should. I haven't. I've been, you know, bracket wise, and then all weekend long, like I said, I was doing a lot of baseball stuff. So just haven't gotten into it. But hopefully, yeah, in the next week or so, you know, as we get into these next rounds, I'm definitely planning on it. I've seen nothing but good feedback from our crowd. I've seen a lot of good screenshots from our people and from the audience out there. So I'm missing out, I think.
Yeah. So if you guys want to not miss out any longer, head to ospo.com/join, check out the March Madness package, and you'll be all set. If you got any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. My DMs are open. We've also got free premium content for today. NHL rankings. If you want to get a peek behind the paywall, that's how you do it. Nightbot will hook you up with that link, and then NBA rankings as well are free. So just check out Nightbot. They'll have links for you as we go along here. Let's go to the Ducks and the Wild. 2.1 implied total for the Ducks, 3.4 for the Wild. Ryan Miller expected to go for the Ducks against Cam Talbot. He is confirmed for the Wild. They did some swapping. Minnesota did. Yeah. Marcus Johansson going to be back in the lineup with Eriksson Ek and Greenway, which looks to be their shutdown line against Getzlaff and Raquel. And then you've got two Wild lines, Rask, Kaprizov, and Zuccarello. That's a line that we've got a sample of. Hartman with Parisi and Fiala, certainly a playable line for cheap. What do you like on this Minnesota side? And then feel free to take it anywhere on the Duck side if you're seeing anything appealing there.
That top line for the Wild has been interesting and pretty dynamic recently. Kaprizov, just a heck of a goal scorer and creator, playing really, really well. The pairing with him and Zouk seems to be really connecting well as well. So that line's been going off pretty nicely. Not a good defensive unit by any means. You can turn the puck around on them pretty easily. 147-01 together, 44.27% Corsi for, but they're leading 12-8 goals for advantage. That's a 60% actual, but again, it's a 44.51% goal expected. So they're getting a little bit lucky, generating some chances and converting on things that maybe they shouldn't, or maybe they should just be getting beat coming back the other way. 22-27 high danger chances trailing there, but 5-5 in conversions. So definitely getting the job done, but not a good defensive unit. But for our purposes, we can get to them. And I think the field is probably a little light on them, coming in under 5% across the board on both sites. Not expensive. Kaprizov, the most expensive player, under 6K on DK, 5.9 on FanDuel. Pretty easy top line to get to, and I think they've got some good attributes there, and going up against just a really bad Ducks team, 29th in the league with 108 goals against, 30th in the league, 70 goals for. So they're not doing a lot. There's not a lot to love about getting to anything really on the Ducks side of things. If you wanted to fire away with some of the top line, fine, you're playing a top line. There's some talent in, Getzlaff and Raquel still. The second line is a little bit interesting, and again, cheap and nobody on them, with Zegras, Henrique, and Troy Terry playing together. Only 17.52 sample, sub 40% Corsi four, given up one goal and not scored one, but generated four high danger chances and given up three. And I think there's just some talent on that line that nobody's really looking at. They're not a good team, but I think that could be a sneaky line to play, where, throw them into not a lot of your lineups, but mix them in here and there where you need something cheap to get to with some of these big expensive lines. I think it could pay off.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing on the Ducks side, thinking about playing line here, is who's going to get the Eriksson Ek, Greenway, Johansson line. I know usually it's been Foligno up there. He's been hurt, but Eriksson Ek and Greenway is a really amazing shutdown line. And so they're going to go up against Getzlaf Kell. That's a line I don't really want a part of on a 10-game slate. I would rather dip down to the Henrique line, like you said. So I'm with you there. I am a little worried about the ownership on the Hartman, Parisian, Fiala line. I think by the time we get to lock, it might be closer to even on those top two lines in terms of ownership. And so I'm fine playing either of the top two Minnesota lines. I would like to see the Fiala, Parisi, Hartman line come down in ownership to feel a little bit more confident about them. But yeah, good spot for Minnesota. I mean, both their lines filler priced or maybe just a little bit above the filler benchmark, but both good plays, both going to get really quality matches against Ducks depth. And no John Gibson, so they don't have an elite goalie in there anymore. Miller's a quality backup, but definitely a guy I wouldn't be afraid to target again. So mostly just Minnesota for me. Maybe, like you said, some Henrik Zegras and Troy Terry. What about defensemen? Anyone popping out to you? Ian Cole, Suter? I mean, no Dumba for the Wild. Maybe Cole gets a little bit more run, or Spurgeon for 4K. Not a bad play there.
Yeah, those guys make some sense as values for sure. And if you can get to you know, somebody on the power play with that unit where they should be fairly dynamic against a backup goaltender who has had a nice career, but with this defense and these lines in front of him, he's only at 87.7% save percentage this year. So struggling in his nine games this year playing in behind this team. So I think this is definitely a spot you can attack with power play, and a spot we can work in some of these cheap defensemen. And then on the Ducks side of things, if you are going to that second unit, we've got them as the top power play, and Shattenkirk's been playing on that top power play. He's cheap. He's unowned. I think he scored last night before. So I think you can get to him. Two goals, 11 assists on the year, 41 block shots even. Yeah. Pretty well.
Yeah, not a bad call there, especially for a one-off guy, top power play. Drysdale, 2,900, a guy I'll also probably have a little bit of. But, yeah, mostly just about the Minnesota forwards here. So yeah. I don't want to leave out the Greenway line, but I think they're just going to be more focused on shutting down Getzlaf and Raquel. Now, that's definitely a line they can score against. Greenway, or Eriksson Ek's been scoring a lot this season. So you can go to Minnesota 3, but – think just based on matchups, the top two lines are going to have a lot better chances to score here. Let's go to Colorado, Arizona, 3.3 implied total for the Avs, 2.3 for the Yotes. Philip Grubauer expected to go against Antti Raanta for the Yotes. Yotes put back their top line, their only good line really that they've had all season, Schmaltz with Keller and Garland. I believe that was on Thursday night, maybe Wednesday night. And they scored two goals instantly. Now, that was against the Ducks. So this is going to be a little bit different. In fact, maybe the complete opposite matchup against the Avs here, who just smoked Minnesota two times in a row over the weekend. They are pretty much back to full strength. I don't think they're missing anyone of note. They look impossible to score on. They're just absolutely stacked. Would you have any interest in going to Arizona 1, though, a line that – I'm sure you've got the numbers. They've been pretty good at 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, they're in play because they are pretty good together, and there's just nobody there ownership-wise.
Yeah.
We're talking about a team, or a line rather, under 2% owned across the board on DK, under 1% except for Garland, who's just at 1.2% on FanDuel. I think you can go to them just based on that, regardless of the matchup. That said, yeah, they're a talented line. They're going up against the team with a team Corsi for a 58.86. That's just dominant puck possession. Team save percentage, 91.6. If it's Grubauer, he's at a 9.29 save percentage this year in his 24 starts. It's always Grubauer, so that makes a lot of sense that it would be him. And just, you know, to your point, a dominant team to go up against. But, yeah, there's not going to be anybody on that line. They are 198.27 together. They're as a unit, they're a 56.4% Corsi four. So they've got, you know, good puck control skills as well. 14-6 goals for advantage, which is 70%, but down to an expected goals advantage, still pretty strong at 56.52%. 45-23 in high danger chances. So they generate a lot more high danger than they give up. 7-4 in conversion. So they're converting them more than they've given up. It's a good line. There's not much else to like. The second line immediately drops down, very small sample, but 44 and change Corsi four, trailing in goals four pretty badly, trailing in high danger chances. So they get ugly pretty fast over there. But I think if you're going to Arizona, it's that top line.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, it's Arizona one or just move on to the next team. I don't care how cheap the second and third lines are. None of them are going to have good matchups. Not only are Colorado's forwards quality, but their defensemen are even better, maybe better actually. And so like, you're just not getting a good matchup at all. So I either want a really good 5-on-5 line, or you hope they get there on the power play. And that's really just Arizona one. So other lines, not interested in on Arizona. I am interested in all three of the Colorado lines. Start with the top one, just amazing numbers. Just they look unstoppable right now after the couple games with Minnesota. This is some weaker competition for sure. Ownership is going to be in check just because, you know, we talked about the Rangers. Looks like a lot of people are going to go there. We haven't talked about Winnipeg and Vancouver. It's a 10-game slate. I mean, there's a bunch of different spots, but I think Colorado 1 is a priority for me. Colorado 2, their numbers have been really good at 5-on-5, which I haven't noticed, but they've been rocking at 5-on-5. And so Kadri's 6,500, yeah, but you get cheap line mates, Saad and Burakovsky. So someone was mentioning their numbers or their minutes were down a little bit in the last couple of games, but I think that was, as Cliffy pointed out, just because they were crushing the opponent. And so they didn't need to play their top guys up their third and fourth lines, get a little bit more run. Colorado 3, decent filler with like an Edmonton 1 if you're looking for a really, really cheap third line that's going to get awesome matchups against this Arizona depth. But yeah, it's pretty much all about Colorado or 1% owned Arizona 1. Talk about like being overweight on lines that we believe in. I do believe in this line. And so if I get to 5 or 7% in MME and they're at 1 or 2%, I'd feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you're nicely leveraged at the field at that point, and you're not risking a big chunk of your lineups if you're playing 150. You're only, you know, carve off 7% and get that far above the field. That's a nice little advantage. Just a quick on that Colorado third line, since it was another of the third lines that I flagged. Only 63-minute sample together, but 68.94% Corsi 4 advantage, 7-1 in goals for, which is an 87.5% actual goals for advantage, but the expected is 66.57. They've been really strong. So 11-9 in high danger chances, 4-1 in conversions on those. Just really like that sneaky little third line there with Donskoy, Jost, and Nikushin.
Yeah. Wow. Colorado is just crazy stacked right now. So if they can stay healthy, obviously a cup contender, but probably the cup favorite. I don't know what the current odds are right now. They have to be top three right now, and maybe number one. I'm not exactly sure, but they look real tough to target against. Winnipeg, Vancouver, 3.1 implied total for the Jets, 2.9 for the Canucks. Hellebuck and Demko are your confirmed goalies. This Winnipeg one night, we've been talking about them for a while. I don't know if you've been catching the shows when you haven't been on, Terry, but we've been talking about Winnipeg one pretty much all season. Feels like a good spot. What do you say?
Yeah, it feels like a good spot. It looks like a good spot. They rank out pretty well for us and not getting crazy over-owned either. They're like right in line with their on the top stacks board with their ownership and their probability of being in the top two stacks. That's actually true for both of the top lines. They're ranked right next to one another, both inside the top 10 in our top stacks tool. And the second line is a little bit more expensive, getting a little bit less ownership and a better leverage score. So I like both of those top units for the Jets. The top line, 157 minutes together, 48.81% Corsi 4. We can excuse that. They're a good line. 6-7 goals for, giving up one more than they've allowed, which is a 46.15 actual, but a 53.99 expected advantage. 5-1 in converting high danger chances. Only two more generated, 35-33, but good at converting them. The second line, 125-minute sample, 51.82 Corsi 4, 6-6 in goals, which is obviously 50%. But again, in expected, they edge up a little bit, 52.55 expected, giving up more high danger than they've generated, but not terrible there. And I think you know, everything that we're seeing in terms of Alex's simulations and the probability of them being one of the top two stacks makes a lot of sense to work them into our plans as well.
Yeah, I mean, Winnipeg 1's been giving up a little bit defensively, but like, they've still been generating a ton of chances offensively. They are fully correlated on the power play. You guys know how much I love full power play correlation, especially for a line that's reasonably priced. You talked about the ownership. It's not like they're crazy over-owned. And that's really all that matters on a 10-game slate. So I think it's a great spot. Vancouver takes as many penalties as anyone. 14 more times shorthanded than anyone else this season. Now, second place is Tampa, and they played four more games. So a little bit of a trick there. But they're right up there in time shorthanded per game in terms of being one of the worst teams. So great team to target against. Second line, you only get Connor on the top power play. But if you want to play the second line and just full stack them with Ehlers, Dubois, and Connor, I really like that as well. So absolutely love Winnipeg. I think everyone's going to like them tonight at the very least. But I'm not forgetting about the Horvat, Besser, Hoglander line. I think they're going to see the most time against Scheifele, Stastny, and Wheeler. I mentioned they've been giving up a lot of chances at 5-on-5 in their own end. And so I think if Vancouver scores their 2.9, 3 goals, whatever it is, that they're expected to score at a median outcome basis, Horvat, Besser, I think, could have a pretty big game here. You get Hoglander for 3,300, or you can go with Horvat, Besser, and JT Miller and just power play stack these Canucks. So really like both sides here, specifically line one for the Vancouver side or the power play with Hughes at 4,600. I also need to mention Nate Schmidt moved up to the top pairing with Alex Edler. So he's probably in for a minutes boost. He was getting around 20, but maybe you bump him up to like 22, 23, more where Edler's been getting. And he's just $3,200 tonight.
Yeah, that makes him relevant. That's interesting at that price for sure, if we're getting a few extra minutes out of that. So that's one to keep in mind as a pretty cheap blue liner there. Mm-hmm. I think you're right on the Vancouver side of things. I think the top two lines are pretty much in play for me. That second line, little lesser than the other one. Neither one is good at puck possession, but really neither team here is good at puck possession.
Yeah.
As a team, Vancouver's got a 46.47% Corsi for in their 35 games. And Winnipeg's got a 47.43 in their 31 games. So both below average in puck possession. We could just see a lot of fireworks in this game. This might be one to just kind of load up on both sides to some degree and just hope that the game goes off, just back and forth and a lot of goal scoring. You mentioned the potential for the power play and the opportunities that Vancouver gives up. Keep in mind also the stat from before, Ottawa was trailing, was ahead of only them for worst in the league by 19 goals, but that makes the Canucks second worst in the league in goals against, 110 goals against this year, 30th in the league. So definitely a team that can be scored on, and the Jets are sixth with 100 goals for, so very good scoring team. So could be some fireworks here.
Yeah, I think a lot of fireworks indeed. That's going to be a game I'm heavily exposed to, so looking forward to hopefully having a sweat during this late slate. So let's go to the Blues and the Golden Knights. It is a 2.6 implied total for St. Louis, 3.1 for Vegas. Binnington, he's confirmed for the Blues. Not sure if it's going to be Leonard or Fleury. I haven't seen much Vegas news. And they're important because Max Pacioretty was a late scratch yesterday afternoon. I would think he's probably not playing if we haven't heard anything by Locke, but maybe we've heard something and I'm just missing it. I was trying to look up on my other screen over here, but so if Pacioretty, if we have news, feel free. Someone let me know in the Slack, but I'm just going to assume that he's out and it's going to be Tuck, Stevenson, and Stone, normal Vegas too. What do you like in this one?
Yeah, I was just scrolling the Slack channel to see if anybody had it. It looks like they're all talking about Tuck.
Top shots.
Yeah, they're talking top shot in the NHL Slack. So nobody has the Pacioretty news, but that's
good. Vegas too, very highly owned. What do you think about that here? A 20%+ can that be right?
Good line. That is a ridiculously high amount of ownership, though. I didn't realize that. But yeah, it looks like we've got Carlson and Smith both up over 20%. Marchessault doesn't come up on my screen just because of weird naming conventions with him. For ownership, but I imagine he's right there as well. They're not expensive. 4,600 for Carlson, yeah. 35 for Riley Smith. That's probably what's driving a good portion of that. So as a unit, pretty good 717 minute sample, 56.95% Corsi 4, so good puck possession 5-on-5. 35 to 30 goals for advantage, which is 53.85 actual. And they actually project out better with a 57.83% expected goals for advantage, 148 to 116 in high danger chances, converting more of them than they're giving up. So I think there's talent on that line, but if they're owned at that degree, I think there are definitely other spots to consider. So that's one to keep an eye on for sure. See where that ownership lands before lock. The top line with Stone, Stevenson, and Tuck, if they're together, they're owned, you know, a fraction of that, a quarter of what the second line is owned. And I think there's certainly talent on that line. Only 52-28 together, 44.19 Corsi 4 is a little ugly. Only scored one goal, 6-9 in high danger chances. But I just think, you know, overall with the talent there, and Tuck is a decent player, I think they fill in pretty well. And if you're pivoting to that at that much lower ownership, it makes some sense. Blues are a team that we can attack, 20th in the league, 90 goals given up. So I think there's, you know, some logic in going to that top line. If you get Pacioretty on it, so much the better. With him, 472.25 sample, 59.47 Corsi 4, 44-15 goal scored advantage, with a 65.43 expected goals for percentage advantage. That's just a tremendous line. So if you get Pacioretty, fire away for sure. But I think you can go to it without him.
Yeah, I like Vegas 1 a lot. I'm glad to see they're coming in at low ownership. I mean, I like the second line, but not for this kind of ownership on a 10-game slate. So if they come down to 12, 13%, yeah, I'll definitely have them in a good portion of my lineups. But I think I'll be over on Vegas 1. I'm giving them a little bit of a pass. You called out the numbers for Tuck, Stevenson, and Stone together. Now, they've only played a few games together. I believe two, maybe three of those games were on the road against Minnesota. And so I talked about the Erickson at Greenway line. I think that was when Foligno was healthy. And so I'm giving them a little bit of a pass for their numbers. I think they're going to carry play tonight, assuming those three are together. No Pareko still for the Blues. They've just been, yeah, they've been a team you can target against. And so I like Vegas 1 a lot, like the low ownership. Do what you want with Vegas too. They're going to be your chalk filler with your Edmonton ones, your Colorado ones. So just try not to get duped if you play them. I guess they're a perfectly fine play. They're underpriced. They're a good line. So you could find a line that's similarly priced for 2% ownership. And so that's my only problem with Vegas too, if they're going to be this highly owned. Theodore, 6,300. Right now he is, let's see, he's probably my fifth or sixth highest owned defenseman tonight. But I really like him for 6,300. And then Martinez is your guy if you're going to Vegas too and you're looking to correlate. Actually, it looks like they switched up the power plays. Maybe it is Theodore with the Vegas second line. I'm not sure. You can play either of those guys,
though. Oh, that's true, yeah.
So I'm not really on St. Louis. If you got anything quick on them, feel free. Otherwise, we can move it on to the last game of the night.
I think if you're playing them, it's that top line. You've got a decent sample on Schwartz and Schenn playing together and an okay sample on the top line as it's comprised. But I don't love it against this Vegas team. I think they're too good defensively. If it's Lindner, he's at 894 save percentage in six games this year. So you're definitely taking a step down in goaltending there. But I think there's just enough on the ice in front of them that there's no real need to attack Vegas on a 10-game slate.
Agreed. Let's go to the Kings and the Sharks. Last game of the night. Hit the like button. Hit us with the subscribe on your way out. We got about a minute or so to break this one down, but I don't think there's going to be too much that we need to talk about. 2.8 implied total for the Kings, 3 for the Sharks. Martin Jones for the Sharks, probably quick for the Kings. Cal Peterson went last night. Kings on the back-to-back. Marlowe with Hurdle and Meyer. That's the bad news. The good news is that we have San Jose 1, but they're going to be popular. So what do you like in here?
Yeah, I like San Jose 1. I think San Jose 2 is definitely in play. Full power play correlation across both of those lines. Obviously, you get Brent Burns coming in off the blue line, joining the power play. So make sure you work him in when you're going to it. But definitely, you know, quality scoring, 359-minute sample, 53.74 Corsi 4 for that top line, and leading significantly in their expected goals for advantage. On the other side of things, the Kings, 910 minutes together on that top line, 52.74 Corsi 4. Good goals for advantage on the actual, but comes down to right about even money on the expected. 137 to 153 high danger chances. They're okay, but they're not one of my go-tos. They do have full power play correlation. You can work Drew Doughty in there. They've been playing better On the Fly had a nice little piece about Doughty and Kopitar and how they're playing better and talking about it, talking a lot about wanting to make a playoff run and everything together. But I don't know that tonight's their night. But you can work them in. They're not extremely highly owned, not overly expensive, except for Kopitar.
Yeah, I think Kings 1 is fine. That's probably the target for me on the Kings. Reasonable ownership, sub 5%. Don't mind that. I want to stack San Jose 2, but it would probably just be two mans with Hurdle and Meyer. Marlowe, not a guy you really want to play for DFS. I will say he is correlated with Hurdle and Meyer on the secondary power play, and that's the Brent Burns power play right now. So maybe not the worst thing in the world to include Marlowe for min salary, but I'm really focused on San Jose 1 in this spot. Really like him. I don't like that their ownership is very high, so that's why I'm getting to a little bit more of like Vegas 1, some other lower owned stacks in their price range. But they're a great play, I think, tonight, especially against non-Cal Peterson, who's been insanely good for the Kings recently. So pretty good slate. Anything else we need to wrap this one up?
No, man, I think we covered it top to bottom. I'm glad we had that extra 5 minutes.
Yeah, that was helpful. We could have used an extra 5 probably with these 10 gamers, but we've had good Monday slates. Thank you, everybody, for dropping by. It will be myself and either Cliffy or Josh. I can never remember the schedule. Every day is the same when you do DFS content. Good luck tonight, and we will see you tomorrow.